And Jeremiah said, "The days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. And this is the covenant that I will make. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Those words spoken by the prophet would bring hope to the people of Israel, hope in the midst of utter despair. Those words would change the very fabric of worship for Israel for the rest of its existence, even up to the present day. They would offer a revolutionary perception about who God is and how God's presence operates in the world. Simply put, Jeremiah is revealing the belief that wherever God's people are, there is where God is. Or as Jesus later puts it, "Wherever two or three are gathered in my name, I am in the midst of them." To understand what's so significant about this revelation, we need to go back to the beginning of the history of the Hebrew people. Long before Jeremiah, God made a covenant with Abraham, a nomadic shepherd living somewhere in present-day Turkey, promising to make his descendants a great people living in a land set apart for them. God would bring them to that promised land in the area around present-day Jerusalem. And after a series of events that would lead them into Egypt, where they remained for several hundred years, God would call Moses to lead his people back to the promised land, an event that is known as the Exodus. And during the journey back, God encounters Moses on the mountain and renews his covenant with the Hebrews by giving them the Ten Commandments inscribed on two stone tablets. The tablets' presence among the Hebrews would continue to be a sign of God's presence in their midst, so that wherever the tablets resided, there God would dwell. The tablets representing the covenant that God had made with Israel were placed in a special container known as the Ark of the Covenant. And when the Hebrews finally returned to the promised land and settled at Jerusalem, they built a temple to house the Ark. And so the temple became the center of worship for God's people. There in the temple, in the presence of the Ten Commandment tablets, in the presence of the Ark of the Covenant, God would dwell. And God's presence would be a protective presence for his people. As long as God was resided in Israel, Israel would be safe. 400 years later, during the lifetime of Jeremiah, disaster strikes. The Babylonians invade the Hebrew nation, send its leaders into exile in Babylon, destroy the temple, and turn Jerusalem into rubble, destroying the Ark of the Covenant and the stone tablets in the process. For the Hebrew people, this can only mean one thing: God has abandoned them. In Babylon, where Jeremiah is exiled along with other Jewish leaders, Jeremiah reveals that indeed God is not dead. God has not forgotten his people. In fact, God now makes a new covenant with his people, a covenant that is more enduring than those Ten Commandments, a covenant that human forces cannot destroy, a covenant written not on stone, but on people's hearts, a covenant that is not tied to a particular land or a particular site, but rather that is present wherever God's people may reside. So God's people are free. Free to worship in any place, at any time, while knowing that in their worship, God is indeed present. That God is in their midst. And for this people, that is revolutionary. God's new covenant ultimately finds its expressive with the coming of Jesus some 500 years later, and subsequent outpouring of the Holy Spirit, when God's presence begins to reside in a new way among all people for all time. And all of this gives foundation to the belief that God's presence is with us today, and that we don't need to be present in temples or buildings or be in a certain place to be in the presence of the one who gives us life. Wherever God's people are, wherever you and I are, God is with us. That is the insight Jeremiah imparted to his people, and that insight remains the core of our faith today. But if this is the case, if this is what we believe, then why do we gather in buildings on Sunday morning to worship God? Why is this so important? If God is present in our hearts, then can't we find God anywhere we may be in our own way? In this season of stewardship awareness, why should we come to church? If we believe in Jeremiah, Jeremiah says we are free to worship God wherever we are. So why here? Well, I feel that leads us to some pertinent questions. Why is church worship so important? And in this season of stewardship, why should we commit ourselves to supporting a church community? As we ponder these questions, let me offer some thoughts. Let me begin by saying that it is within the context of community that we come to understand the nature of God's presence within us. Through our worship, we contemplate who God is. We discover the nature of God. Each act of corporate worship reminds us of God's living presence in our lives. Indeed, there are moments in our worship when God's presence makes itself known to us, where we know and we feel God's presence deeply in the core of our being in a very personal way. And as the nature of God is revealed to us, we are inspired to live our lives differently as a reflection that we experience in our hearts. So gathering a community offers us a unique way of encountering this God who is always present with us. Now that being said, who is the God whom we encounter in our worship? God is a creative God, which means God is a giving God. God creates, and in creating, God gives us life. And God sustains the life that we have. God is a sacrificing God. God gives without condition, without measure. There is nothing God won't give. And for us Christians, we celebrate that most profoundly by believing that God offered God's Son, that we might have life. There is nothing God won't do for us. No promise God won't keep. God is a sacrificing God. But God is also a reconciling God. God is a God of forgiveness, not allowing what other people do to prevent a relationship with Him. But that also means that God desires that we live in community with one another. And by forgiving each of us, helps us to be able to forgive one another, to restore broken relationships, and to maintain community, which is reflective of the very nature of God. And God is a compassionate God. God cares for those society neglects, for those who suffer, for those who are lonely or hurt, for those who need love. God has compassion for those whom often we ignore. And those attributes of God, a giving God, a creative God, a sacrificing God, a reconciling God, a compassionate God, become the focus of who we are as we gather to worship in God's name. And so when we gather in worship, we immerse ourselves in this very nature of God. The words of our worship, the songs that we sing, the prayers that we offer, the fellowship we experience, all embodies the very nature, the very essence of the image of God. And in doing that, we begin to act toward one another in ways that are influenced by the God that we worship. We treat one another differently in community because of the core of our belief. And in doing so, we begin to grow into the image of God, not only individually, but as a community. Our lives become more and more reflective of those characteristics that make God, God. We become more giving. We become more sacrificing. We become more forgiving. And we become more compassionate. All because we live in the image of God. Yes, God has written a covenant on our hearts, but it is within the faith community that that covenant is more fully realized and most fully lived out. Living out in support of one another, encouraging one another, strengthening one another, so that we might be transformed more into the image of God. And that we might not only be transformed, but we may become the agents of transformation as well. But having said that, it is important for us to realize that God's presence within us was never meant only for personal reflection or pleasure. That was true in Jeremiah's time, and that's true for us today. God's presence is there to help us see the world through God's eyes and to be moved by God's presence in the world today. And we experience that most powerfully in community with one another. Here it is we enter into relationships that are based on commitment to care for one another as God cares for us. Here we are reminded of God's great love for us, and having experienced that love, we are driven to love one another more deeply. God's covenant is written in our hearts, and it's there to stay. But it is in community that that covenant becomes real and powerful and is most fully realized. And that is the core of what we reflect on and what we celebrate during our time of stewardship awareness. Stewardship has such a negative connotation for so many as nothing more than dollar signs. Anything could be further from the truth. Stewardship is about embracing the covenant that has been written on your heart, to nurture that covenant, and to open yourself up to God's presence. And anything that follows from that follows first from the relationship we have with the God and the Holy One we believe in. And as we are transformed, so we transform those around us. If there's nothing else that you take away from us being in this time of stewardship, it is that. God has written a covenant on your heart, and it is up to you now to open yourself up to fully explore and embrace what that means for you. And let that realization change your life. Change the way you view the world, the way you act in the world, and the way you share yourself, not only with this community, but with the many communities of which you are a part. There's a prayer that I have put in the bulletin the last couple of Sundays, a prayer of dedication that I believe embodies this in very, very simple words. So I would invite you to turn to page 5 in your bulletins and stand with me as we say together a stewardship prayer of dedication. And I only ask as we say this prayer that you would allow this prayer somehow to resonate with the covenant of the heart that God has made with you. Let us dedicate ourselves to the journey with God. My church is composed of people like me. I help make it what it is. It will be friendly if I am. Its pews will be filled if I help fill them. I will do great work if I work. It will make generous gifts if I am a generous giver. It will bring other people into its worship and fellowship if I invite and bring them in. It will be a church of love and faith if I, who make it what it is, am filled with these same things. Therefore, with the help of God, I will dedicate myself to the task of being all the things that I want my church to be. By God's grace, so be it. Amen.